Praise God. Our reading this morning follows on from Billy's Psalm 63. reading the first few verses of Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen you in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. This will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Praise God. We'll begin with a question this morning. How desirous am I to be involved fully with the family of God in my local fellowship? In other words, in the church that I am in. In our reading, we see that David, the heading of the psalm, is an outlaw. David is away from really everything and out there, and is desirous in that situation to be in the sanctuary, to worship his God. Difficult in the wilderness, not impossible, but that is where his heart was. That's where he wanted to be. How else can we quench, satisfy our thirst in a dry and thirsty land? Where else but in God's house, with God's people, in God's presence, giving praise and worship to him? So what I want to say is this. First, David's desire is to be where the presence of God is. Verse 2. So should our desire ever be to where the presence of God is. This is what he says, to see thy power in the sanctuary, where I've been, where I want to be, where I long to be, and that's where we want to be in church. We're here this morning and we desire to be here. See, David's consuming thought was this, that what he wanted to do was to build a house for his God. That's what he wanted. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 2, he said to Nathan the prophet, he said, listen, why should I live in a house of cedar when God, my God, the ark of God, is in a tent, and yet I'm in a house? That was his desire. He wanted to build his God a house to worship in. And of course, you see, we know full well that he couldn't build the house. He was a man of violence. But Solomon, his son, a man of peace, he built God's house. Just in passing, it's an interesting thought that Solomon went to Gibeon, where the high place was, the altar, to offer sacrifice to God. David is not recorded ever going to Gibeon, to a high place, to offer sacrifice. David is where the ark of God is. See, David is where the presence of God is. That is where he wants to be. And this is what he longs in the desert, to be where God, he wants to be with God and God's people. He doesn't want to be there, But tragically, he's driven there because Saul has caused him to be there. And there he is. His heart cries out to God. You see, secondly then, David's dedication to the preparation of God's house. He couldn't build God a house, but what he could do, he could get everything ready for the house when it was going to be built. And that was what he did. And so we see that what he did, he amassed a vast quantity of materials, of wealth, of silver, of gold, of brass. In his conquests, which he conquered a vast empire, all of the money that he had, everything that was given, he placed ready for God's house. Nothing for himself, just for God. He was a selfless man, but where God was, that was so important to him. Ready for the building. Question arises, what about our preparation? When we present ourselves in church, when we're here this morning in his presence, ought we not to be ready before we come? When I was young, I used to be in church, yes, to praise God. But as you get older and you understand spiritual things, you're preparing yourself to be in God's house. Because you see, when you prepare to be in God's house, you're there and you're on the way and you arrive there in your heart and every part of you is ready. You're ready to worship. You're ready to praise God. You're ready to give it everything you've got because that's your desire and that's where you want to be. And that's the excitement of what's needed. Now in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 3, we read David's affection for God. I'll just read that verse. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own good given of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above, notice that, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Not just what he had, but everything he had, more than everything. And that's so important, his desire. I love that, affection. He had an affection for God. And that's what we ought to have too. And you see, what happens there is that not only did he desire to build God a house, but then secondly, he encouraged the people to give. He wasn't only giving himself, but he encouraged them to give. Now in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 15 and 16, we'll read this. On Chronicles 20. Anyway, what it is, the people are caught up. That's the wrong scripture. But the people are caught up by the spirit of the giver. In other words, you see, the king David, by his example in giving, is encouraging the people to give. And you know what the word says? It says this, that they give willingly. Why? Because you see, there was the example. Caught up in the Spirit of God with the giver. Giving to God what they could give as well. You see, David's thought was this. I'll give what I can, and he did. But God's house is so important that we need to get everything for it. We need to give everything we've got. So he said to all the people, look, he said, give. Give to God as your heart desires. Give to your God. And that's so important to remember. And then you see, here's the question. What is my contribution in giving to God? What is my expectation? Think of all of the things. In service. In time. In offerings. And that covers not only financial, which is very important, a tithe and our offerings on top of all of that, but ministries that God has given us. All of these things, what we can contribute as God gives. But more important, not is my expectation, but what is God's expectation of me? What does God expect of me? I know what I want to God, but what does He want from us? And then thirdly this, He shared a vision. His was a shared vision with the leaders of the people. See, when they give, He said to all the leaders of the nation, He had them all together, look, we're given to God. But He involved them. He didn't just do it Himself. It was important to Him as God's man over God's people to involve all of the people of God in what they had to do. And so for us, we have our pastor, God's given man to us, the oversight and the ministry of the church, but also each individual member in the church. We're all together. What vision do we have for the church? Are we caught up with this lovely shared vision of what God is doing? Not what God is going to do, but what God is doing. You see, our God is a doing God. And from what we're doing now, we'll progress to where God wants us to be. But first, we've got to be in the place to give before the rest takes its place. So you see, we grow spiritually together in God's house. That's the strength of fellowship. Together, growing spiritually in God's house. Then fourthly, this is what He did. He set the pattern of praise and worship. Although the house or the temple was not yet built, He thought everything through to what would happen, the worship, the praise, every part of what this would involve. So He set the pattern for worship. 1 Chronicles 25 and verse 1. It says there that He separated to service those who were called, those who had abilities. See, God has given us abilities. Each one of us have gifting. Each one of us have things that we can do. You see, we had a choir in the church, a very good choir that went all over the place, ministering everywhere. But I never made it because I wasn't a good singer. Never made it, but I went with them. Although I wasn't singing, actually what they did, they felt sorry for us, so they gave me the music to keep. So while I wasn't singing, I was the keeper of the music, just so that I was involved. But you see, that's the important thing. Together. Let's do it together. And when we think of the abilities that God has given us, separated the service, He appointed singers, those who could sing, musicians, those who could play. And we have three mentioned by name, which if you go through the book of Psalms, you'll see that they wrote their own psalms. And this is the vision capturing what the man of God gives to those who grasp it, who want to serve Him, who want to give everything. And they were Asaph, and they were Heman and Jeduthun. They were called out to minister for God, and they wrote their own songs. And by the way, of course, David himself, if you remember, was a skillful musician in his own right. He was a great harp player. Of all the nation, he was sought out to play before Saul. One said, oh, there's a skillful man, a son of Jesse in Bethlehem. He's brilliant with a harp. You see, David just didn't put his money where his mouth was, to use a worldly expression, that was said. But he committed himself completely because he had that ability in himself, and he saw that in others. Now that's so important. One another together ministering in praise and worship with the gift that God has given us. So we make way for God-given talent and cultivate the desire and privilege of worship together. Now, Psalm 63 and verse 2. Like I said, David's desire to be where the presence of God is, the sanctuary. Let's think for a few moments about the sanctuary. Where is the sanctuary? Well, you see, the sanctuary in David's time was the tent in Jerusalem. That was where the Ark of God was. That was the visible presence in the nation of God's people, of God in the midst and center of the nation. And David himself brought that Ark up into Zion, the city of God, his own city, in the tent and placed it there. He had such a reverence for God that that was where he wanted to be. That was his sanctuary. It's lovely to come into church and feel the warmth of the fellowship, to enjoy the praises and delight in the fellowship of being together. And it's a sanctuary. But you know, when we're with God, that's a sanctuary. Wherever we are, wherever in God's presence, that is a sanctuary. But here, you see, was the tent. To David, this was the sacred place, the place of consecration. He could consecrate, he could give his life, he could come into the presence of God and worship. Look at all the psalms he wrote. Look at all the expressions that he gave. David was always praising God. If he wasn't lifting his hands up, he was on his knees. Wherever he was where the presence of God was. It was the place of holiness. That's the sanctuary where God dwells. And not only consecration, but communion with God. David had communion with his God in God's presence. It was very special to him. So Psalm 63, verse 2, which we read, and I'll read again. To see your power and your glory, so as, notice that's important, so as I have seen you in the sanctuary. You see, that's so important to remember. Why? Because the emphasis is on this, on being here as often as possible. See, that was where he wanted to be. Whenever every opportunity he got, he was there. That's why it's here. So as I have seen, it's sounding of the past, but it's into the present. It's into the future. It's all about where David wants to be with God. You see, he says, to see your power, your glory, oh, the glory of God, where you could worship, your presence, because God was there. His greatest delight, his constant desire, freedom of expression and action to worship God. Further on, he lifts his hands up to God. He praises God in the sanctuary. And for us too, to be in his presence, can we remember that lovely chorus which puts it so well, that says this: to be in his presence, not rushing away, to cherish each moment, here I would stay. This is my desire, O Lord, this is my desire, and this is our desire. Well, that's why we're here, in his presence. That's our desire. Now, our anticipation in presenting ourselves at every given opportunity. We ought to be in God's presence, in God's house, at every given opportunity as we are able and have the ability to be there. That's important. I'll tell you why, for a number of reasons. But one is this, the strength in fellowship together. Yes, one and three. Yes, God's there in the midst. But when there's a group of those with a heart's desire, you see, that's encouraging. That'll encourage the pastor. That'll encourage the man of God. That'll encourage everybody in the church together, because that's our purpose. That's where we want to be. We're in the sanctuary with God and his people. To be in God's house at every opportunity. Question then, why the church? Well, we know the church is God ordained. But you see, we all need a spiritual home. We all need to be together. No man is an island. No man is in isolation. God never made us to be like that. God made us to be together in purpose and one. And so, that's our spiritual home, the church. We're together. You see, outside of the church, in verse 1 of our reading, David, outside of God's presence in the capital or with God's people when he was in the wilderness, it says, in a dry and barren land, he's thirsty. He's thirsting after the things of God. Why? Because he's in the wilderness. He's in the desert. He doesn't want to be there. It's not through. It's not his fault that he's there, but that's where he is. But he longs to be where God is. You see, in the world, it's death to the believer. It's dry and barren. It's nothing to give. It takes from. It never gives. But inside the church, with God's people together, there's refreshing, there's renewing, there's blessing, there's encouragement, there's all of these things. There's ministry, there's fellowship. We can continue on with all of the great things. And you know what? It's the place of the gathering of those who love the Lord. If that's your heart's desire, if you love the Lord, then be in the presence of God, in the sanctuary of God's people, together giving praise and worship to him. And you know as well, it's the place to find God. To find God, those who are unsaved, come into church, hear the word of God, the ministry of the word of God that can save you. Those who are saved, it's the ministry of God that ministers to us all of the time. It's the place to find God. That's the church, where God is. Not a building, we know, but a body, a group of believers in fellowship. And Ephesians 2 and verse 19 to 22, we are built together a spiritual house. And I'd just like to read some verses 20 and 22 from Ephesians 2. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously, and it continues to rise, ever building, to grow and increase into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. In him and in fellowship with one another, you yourselves also are being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed abode, a dwelling place of God in and by and through the Spirit. And then just in conclusion, which came to mind, Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad, joyful, rejoicing from the heart, when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.